Welcome to today's edition of Time in the Vineyard with pastor teacher Jeff Toring. Today's broadcast is being brought to you from the pulpit of Liberty Valley Church, Northfield, Ohio.
Using some of the principles that we find in the book of Joshua regarding how to behave and how to do these things, we are reminded that Joshua, the book of Joshua, is parallel with the book of Revelation. The book of Revelations is taking the promised land and all the things that take place in order for that to happen, because the people, the citizens of the world, when the Lord comes to take the whole earth as his promised land, they will not go willingly. Similarly to that of Joshua, when Joshua comes to take Canaan, the promised land, they too do not go willingly. So there are similarities there. There's the parallel. If this current pestilence is not a run-up to the apocalypse, which we don't know, it certainly is a training/trial session. Doesn't matter if it is or if it isn't. We are taught in the Bible that we are to be constantly looking for and anticipating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to shape our lives in a sense of urgency as if the Lord is coming. Now, of course, it's been 2,000 snows since he has resurrected. And so we live both ways. But we're taught in the Bible that we are to live ready at any moment. So what I'd like to do then is here, as we start the book of Joshua, we'll begin reading in verse 7 where we left off last week. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host. The Proverbs chapter 14, verse 23 says, in all labor there is profit. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of lips tendeth only to penury. We've heard some of that. Talk is cheap. But we don't really focus on the beginning, which we need to focus on here. The fact is that in all labor there is profit. What we're seeing here is Joshua is going to command in verse 10. He says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host. They are preparing for the very time of their lives. All of their training, all of their education, their full lives have been trained, and everything that they have done and learned leads to this very day. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. They have been educated. They've gone through the drill. They have learned the full lessons of what it means to be a Christian. They have studied the book. They have studied the law. They know now from the hand of Moses, this is how it works and this is how it goes. They have had 100% correct data. Therefore, we will have 100% correct models if we follow the data that is given to us in the Torah. So all of this, all of the data previously, the first five books of Moses, leads up to this day. Now, he has received marching orders in verses 6 through 9 that we need to just review. Verse 6, he tells them to be strong and courageous. You're going to need to be brave. This isn't going to be easy. You're going to have to be brave. For again in verse 7, only be thou strong. Be very courageous. that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, then he says something interesting here that is part of the marching orders. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. There's the escalation there. First, you need to be thinking about what the Bible says. And in order to do that, you probably should be reading it. And it's interesting when the children read the Bible. And you know when they're reading and when they're not. You don't need to ask them, although I do, just because it shames people when I ask you in public, yeah, where are you reading at? And then you say, well, you know, well, and I'm like, yeah, okay, you haven't read anywhere. But you need to be reading your Bibles. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Us as men must be reading the Word of God. We cannot leave it to the women and the children. The men have to read the Word of God. We have to receive our marching orders. If you notice the progression here, he says, first, I need you to be talking about it. And then after you talk about what is on your mind, then we need to be thinking about it. So you talk, and then the conversation doesn't stop when we quit talking. The conversation ceases when we quit thinking about what was being talked about. You see, you play it on in your head. You have this conversation with somebody, and then you drive your way out from the little Bible study that you have, and then what you think about what was just said. It's normal. And then usually we stop. We cannot stop any longer. If we are in a crisis, which some people think that we are, now is the time. You not only will be talking about it, but you will be thinking about it, and now we are going to do something about it. We are actually going to be ye doers and not hearers only of the Word of God. We are going to start to execute. We are going to start advancing the kingdom, even in the smallest amount. Now, you would say to yourself, well, I don't know what to do, though. In all labor, there is profit. So think of the smallest thing that you may be able to do, something that you are very capable of doing, something at all. I don't care if you have to sit down and write a card, a greeting card to someone that you know is lost and give them the gospel. Something. Be doers of the word. Talking, thinking, and then doing. Now look at it. He even gives rhetoric with this. Now this is God speaking. Have not I commanded thee? You know what he's saying there? This isn't a suggestion. I have commanded you to do this. We already went through the, well, if you feel like coming into the promised land. How did that work out for them? Well, we can't take the promised land because I'm afraid for my women and children. Okay. Then wander around in the desert until all the women and children are dead. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. We cannot deny the truth of the matter is when we walk through Giant Eagle, that the people are just afraid. Churches all over are closed, not because they're told to, it's because they're afraid. And we're told here not to be afraid. If we move forward through time, we'll actually now leave some of the data and look at another model and see how this actually works. Look at it in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We have a narrative, a historical time in the kingdom of God where things go bad. And we always have rough time. Job says troubles are like sparks that fly upward. They're always in our life. We always have trouble. There's always problems. But this is how we handle it. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 1, it came to pass after this also. In other words, it just continues, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them, other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. They're being invaded, not by one country, not by two countries, but by more than three separate countries. This is a global invasion of their region. They are under siege. They are in threat. Verse 2, then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea of the side of Syria. You know what? He says, I already know that. But people are becoming afraid, and they're running to the king saying, oh yeah, by the way, did you hear this? Did you hear this? Are you getting that? Do you get like texts and emails about this coronavirus? You know, they're sending, it's going all over the place. People are constantly sending something, new information. Have you heard this? Have you heard this? Have you heard this? You know, the king, he knows. He has a vital, very capable intelligence agency. He knows that the countries are against him. But then somebody comes and he goes, did you know? Because you can see the fear. They're afraid. And you know what? Actually, so is the king. Now, he doesn't show that. He goes into the Oval Office at the White House, and he sits down with his men, and he's like, honestly, I don't know what to do. Verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared. Only a crazy man doesn't get afraid. A brave man is one who's afraid, but we just take it on the chin. It's okay to be a little bit of afraid. Just take it anyway. And if we perish, we perish. So Jehoshaphat says he feared, but look what he does too. It says, and he set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all their cities and of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. They are entering the fold. He's bringing all the sheep into the fold. The shepherds that are around our area are closing down the folds, and the sheep are now scattering. They're doing the absolute opposite of what we are told to do. He brings them into the fold. Let's have a meeting. We're under threat. Verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? He is now asking the Lord rhetorical questions. He is rehearsing. It's good to rehearse when you're in prayer. It's good to rehearse to the Lord doctrine. It's good to tell him, you know, to remind him of his covenants. And your prayer, God, you said that if I do this, you will do this. Now I'm doing it. Now I would expect then, because you said so in your word, that A plus B equals C. And so in our prayers, we can put God to the test. Moses did this in a very difficult time. He's praying about what's going on, and it isn't working. I mean, it's just falling apart. And so he keeps praying about it, and it don't seem to be working. Until finally he says, he addresses God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All of a sudden, God moves. Why? Because he reminded God of the covenant, the promise that you made Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And what God is wanting to know is, do you really believe that what this word says? I mean, do you believe it enough to actually do it? Talk is cheap. The lips only, they tend to penury, pennies. Verse 7, are not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before the people of Israel? Now notice, he's referring back to the time of Joshua that we're looking at. And you gave that promised land to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. He's reminding God of the promise that he made to Abraham. Remember your friend? Remember the things that you said, God? Because we could sure use some of that. Verse 8, and they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, now saying, now look, he's going to bring God to the mat. He's coming boldly to the throne of grace, as we are taught. This is what was said. If, when evil comes upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence. COVID-19, coronavirus, a pestilence. If this comes to us, or famine, and if we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and will cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. They're coming after us. Verse 11, behold, I say how they reward us. He's even reminding them during the time of Joshua, we let these certain nations live. So he says in 12, God, wilt thou not judge them now then? We have been gracious to them before. Won't you judge them now? For we have no might against this great company which comes against us. Now look at this. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And then another tender moment, because you can see now everybody kind of creeps out in verse 13. And it says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. That is so vulnerable. We don't know what to do. Then because they are in the fold, things begin to happen. Let me just stop here just for a moment. I have this coffee cup that says, be careful what you do or say. I forget how it works. But it says, beware basically, because whatever you say or do may end up in my sermon. And that's true. So watch what you say to the preacher, because I may use it in one of my sermons. We had a deacon's meeting that I told you about dealing with this virus and should we shut down the church and should we not. And we, of course, decided obviously not to. And I said, there is something about the Spirit of the Lord in the congregation, in this fold, that does not happen anywhere else. You can't explain it, but if you stood behind this box, you know it. Everyone that has stood behind here has had hair-raising moments, chills down our spines, because this preaching becomes Spirit-filled. And it's like the miraculous. There's been several times where I've preached sermons where I don't even know what I said. Things just started coming to me, you know, things of my study that I've studied. But it wasn't part of the notes. It wasn't part of anything. And then you can actually hear a pin drop. They call it the hush of the Holy Spirit. Like, people are like... And it happens. And so I said to the gentleman, we can't duplicate that. That can't happen on film. That only happens here. The very next Sunday, a ton of people said, man, that sermon really moved me. But everybody who saw it or listened to it afterward said, I guess it was okay. Because it only happens here. You cannot duplicate when the Spirit comes upon the congregation of the Lord. Things happen in church, not only our church, but all churches that are preaching the Bible. It's Spirit-filled preaching. This is what's taking place here. Look at 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, one of the servants of the sons of Asaph, one of the singers, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. He's just one of them. He's not anything special. He's just one of the servants. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Now this is true, but God almost never does anything independent of his people. Almost never. So even though he says this, the battle is not yours, there's a but, and it says, but you still must do. You still must be doers of the word. You cannot be hearers only. We must do the word of God. We must act upon the word of God. We must live out the word of God. You does no good to have a sword that is never unsheathed. Pull it out. Let's do it. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, lo, the battle's not yours, but God's. But still, tomorrow, go down against them. You can't just sit here and cry. Go down there tomorrow and let's do it. God says, and I'll do it with you. Jesus talked about something very similar too. Look at it in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew chapter 24, and we'll begin our descent. We're familiar with the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24. They're asking Jesus about the times of the end. Jesus begins to tell them a few things. We're familiar with it. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Verse 6, chapter 24. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. We're not there yet. But it's already looking that way. It's going to look bad before it even starts. It's going to start getting bad. Now look what he says. He says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence. And not one pestilence. We're going to have multiple pestilences at one time. Now you think people are afraid right now? Give us two pestilences and then let the internet go down. This is what's going to happen because this is what Jesus said is going to happen. This is going to happen. I don't know if it's happening right now. But if it's not, it's certainly a trial run. Are we behaving the way that we are supposed to just in case this is? There'll be pestilences, plural. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. This is just the beginning. People are freaking out over a thimbleful. Wait till the bowl is poured out. Verse 9, look, now you can't tell me that this isn't coming to pass. Verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. They're going to deliver you up. There will be a very heavy surveillance going on to deliver you. There'll be a wonderful facial recognition program so that we cannot move around the city without being seen. In fact, you're going to have what they're developing right now, contact tracing by way of Bluetooth through your phone. They are doing that and developing that right now so that they can deliver you up for doing what God has told us to do. The CDC, the WHO, Facebook, Google, and Bill Gates, and George Soros, and a few others are all pushing this. And you will not be able to buy anything unless you buy into the program. Try going the wrong way in Giant Eagle when the arrows say go this direction in the aisle. Try going the opposite direction. And it's like the Gestapo comes like you just committed murder. Man, dude. Let me give you a hint. I learned this from Brother Pfister. This is a pretty good hint how to handle that. If somebody does that and they start panicking like that, just start sneezing a bunch. Like, all the food, man, this is all mine now. This is it. That's it, brother. Fill the cart. Toilet paper. That wasn't right. Shouldn't do that. That's Kurt's fault. Now look, though, in 10, it says, and then shall many be offended. Have you run into anybody offended? I can't believe you're going to church. I am so offended. There's no kidding. They're offended. I can't believe you're endangering us. We're all in this together, hashtag. They shall be offended, though, and they shall betray one another, because fear brings out the absolute worst. Now, we have to, and this will be the next, probably next or the next sermon after that. The government is not our friend. The government is moved by principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness, and dark places. They are not our friend. Now, we have some good people in the government, Christians that are good, solid people, and praise the Lord for them. But as the whole, the government is not our friend. And the fear that they are using, the fear-mongering that they are using right now, false data, they know the data is false. They have been called on it. The Christian Roundtable has called them out on it. Your numbers here in Ohio are false. We know it. And they're doing it on purpose. They shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Do you know that the New York Mayor Blasio, which I can't even believe he got elected, said, you know what, if you see somebody not doing social distancing, take a picture of them with your cell phone and text the government and we'll handle it. Snitch on one another. Betray one another. you would say to yourself, that is just nuts. That is if somebody would have said that 3 months ago, you would have said, that is totally fictitious. That would never happen in the United States. I mean, that would just never happen. Now it's happening. It is happening. They called on us. Several people have called on our church to the health department, and they called us. We hear that you're having church with people. You see, it's nuts. It's designed to be that way. There's a design for that. We're going to see it. But notice through all this, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. How are you going to do that if you're quarantined? Because we're going to break quarantine. And we're going to risk our lives for the red, white, and blue, and for the souls of the people who are going to die and go to hell from this very virus that we have. What shall it profit a man if you gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And look how Jesus concludes this. I'll skip over to verse 32. He says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. We have learned enough, especially since we taught through Daniel of late. We know what the trees represent, don't we? Governments. You got to be a student of the Bible to know what's going on. My people perish for lack of knowledge. It doesn't do me any good to stand up here and tell you good jokes and quotes and anecdotes and make you feel good. It doesn't do anybody any good. It'll grow me a larger church, but what's the point of that? You got to know the Word of God. And they don't know. So learn, he says, a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. He's saying, watch what the governments are doing, and you'll understand by the very word of God, you will know this thing is coming, because you will know. Look at the trees. Look at the governments. Pay attention to what's going on, and stop watching fake news. But you're going to have to find out through all the dirt and the dust what the truth is. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass, now look, till all these things be fulfilled. What he had just said right there is this is going to go down very quickly. It will be when this thing really comes, it will be an absolute avalanche. We're going to have more than one virus. We're going to have viruses. We're going to have pestilences. It's going to come down. And boy, you won't even know what hit you. Before you know it, you will not go into Giant Eagle and buy any food unless you have the mark. It'll happen so quickly. No one will know what to do except for the Antichrist. I know what to do. Let me save you. Then look what happens. He makes a twist. He says, heaven and earth shall not pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Everything is going to pass away, but my words stay. And then he tells you something. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now look what he says. He says something interesting that we have looked at several times. He says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. He's saying it's going to be like the days of Noah. A lot of you are familiar with the days of Noah, how it was, what the world was like. They thought Noah was a nut. I mean, Noah. You know that guy Noah out there building that boat? The one who wears a tinfoil hat, you know, who's talking about preaching about Jesus and this nut out there, this Jesus crazy dude, you know. He's out there saying, it's going to flood. Are you out of your mind? He said there's going to be a world flood. I mean, he is an absolute nut. His message is crazy. The WHO, the UN, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, Dr. Acting will all say the data and the science and the models don't come to a flood. A So what do you got to say about that, Noah? Well, actually, it's going to rain. And then the laughter begins. Noah's message was, it's going to rain, and it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and the world is going to flood. And then they're going to respond. The people of science will say, it's never rained before ever. What is rain? You see, the idea of what he's saying here is the goal is to make us who believe the Bible look nuts. That's the goal. So that nobody will take us seriously, even people sitting in churches. Is it going to really rain? Do you not see that coming? We're dignified people with letters after our names, you know. I just talked to a pastor who made sure that I knew that he had a Harvard education. I said, well, I graduated from a backyard Bible school. But the Word of God is still true. Now, here's the thing. We will have to break quarantine to tell people then, won't we? We're going to have to risk our lives to warn them. Because that's what the people who took the promised land did. Joshua and the boys risked their lives of a whole generation that would not do it before. They wouldn't do it. They're like, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. We can't do this. And now, the second time around, let's do this. I mean, come hell or high water, we're going to do it. And if I die, I die. Look what he says. The scoffers, they didn't realize it until finally the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in a field. The one shall be taken, the other one left. The rapture will come eventually during all this process, and the real believers are gone. I mean, we're gone. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. And so what he says then, watch therefore. You need to be anticipating that we're coming to the end, even if it's not the end. We need to be ready. So Jesus says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. So you need to be ready, watching, and working. Because 43, but this know, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. Some of you guys are like, well, you always make sure that I know that you're gun-toting people. Well, you know, I got a concealed carry. Good. It doesn't do you any good if you have it locked up in a safe in the middle of the night when you're robbed. You have to be watching. You have to be ready. You have to have that thing loaded under your pillow. That's what I would do. I am a terrible shot, so I'd probably kill everybody but the intruder, so I don't do all that. I'm just going to go however else, I mean, if it goes down. He says, if you knew, though, what time he's coming, you'd definitely be ready with your guns ablazing. But we don't know. So the Bible throughout tells us, always be ready to give an answer. Always. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain, because in all labor there is profit. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Doing what? Everything and anything, for in all labor there is profit. First, the words of the law will not depart out of our mouth. We will meditate upon them day and night and observe to do it. We'll be doers. We will be doers. And then it says, thy way shall be prosperous. That's what we're called to do. We are not called to run and hide. And if they laugh at us, they laugh at us. But we serve the King. And he has told us what is coming and what will come.
You've been listening to Time in the Vineyard with Pastor Teacher Jeff Turing. Today's broadcast was brought to you from the pulpit of Liberty Valley Church, Northfield, Ohio. For more information, you can call the church at 330-554-7606 or check us out on the web at libertyvalleychurch.org. That's libertyvalleychurch.org.